Hi there, I'm Dr. Linda Papadopoulos, and welcome to my podcast, The Psychology Behind. I've always loved psychology. I've always loved looking at human behavior, why we do what we do, and hopefully together, that's precisely what we'll discover. Why we behave the way we do, why we think the way we do, why we act the way we do. And through that, I hope that we can glean some insights into the way our own mind works and the way that we, as individuals, experience the world. So today we're going to speak about body confidence. This is something that's always been of great interest to me. I think whenever we assess who we are, how we're seen by others, our appearance is always very central to this. And I've got to say, one of the things that I've noticed a lot, both professionally in the clinical and the research work that I do, but also personally, is how invested we are in our appearance as a means of self-esteem and even self-worth. Now, I know that looks are important. I know they've always been, right? So we've always discussed them. We had the ancient Greeks speaking about divine proportion of faces. We had Egyptians kind of, you know, using makeup, you know, thousands of years ago and drawing beauty. We've had artists, you know, throughout the ages paying homage to idealized images. But I think what is different today is this. I think firstly, we are seeing more images than ever before. And I think secondly, and really importantly, we are producing and editing more images of ourselves than ever before. Beautiful, beautiful. And this amplification of the visual, I believe, is leading us to overvalue our appearance when it comes to our identity and self-worth. So before you compare your legs to one more fake tanned or airbrushed thigh, I challenge you to ask yourself a few questions. Firstly, do you actually think that you need to be beautiful to be happy? Now, the fact is, and this is a research fact, there is absolutely no correlation between how you look and how you think you look. I've done work into skin conditions and indeed disfigurement for years. And I have to tell you, I have sat across from people who have facial cancers, whose body image is better than some of the models and actresses that I've sat across from. The fact of the matter is, it's our self-perception that matters. Body image is not an objective thing. It is subjective. Body image is a pair of glasses that you wear, and on those glasses are smeared on all the insecurities you've had, the bullying you may have experienced, the time your mother compared you to your, you know, thinner sister or your prettier cousin, the time that you felt that you were left because, you know, the girl that you liked didn't feel that you were manly enough or didn't look the right way. It's smeared with all of those things. And as a consequence, it affects perception. In fact, this is, you know, a core tenet of psychological research. It affects perception, right? So when I'm depressed, I see the world as a much darker place. When I'm anxious, I see it as a much scarier place. When I have a body image issue, I feel that I can't actually see myself clearly. Some of the most unhappy people in the world can be considered to be the most beautiful. That's a fact. You need to recognize that the most important thing about your appearance, therefore, is not how you physically look, but how you feel about how you physically look. If you have a positive, healthy perspective regarding the role that your looks play in your life, you will be happy. It's as simple as that. Secondly, I want to ask you this. Do you think that beauty only comes in one shape and size? The fact is, it doesn't. Across history, across culture, even across different social groups, different things are valued when it comes to appearance. It's all socially constructed. The only thing that we know isn't socially constructed, that is an evolutionary trait that we look for, is facial symmetry, how similar the left side of your face is to the right. The rest, your size, your shape, whether you're pale or tanned, or you have straight or curly hair, it's all made up. It's socially constructed. So it's imperative to learn to celebrate your own kind of beauty instead of trying to emulate someone else's. I remember my mom telling me, you know, it's about, you know, a rose trying to look like a lily, you know, or a lily trying to look like a daisy. They're all beautiful flowers, but, you know, you need to be able to have the right, have the sense of entitlement to be your own flower rather than trying to fit some cookie cutter shape of what you're supposed to look like at this point in time. I kind of think of Cindy Crawford back in the 90s, and she'd speak often about this mole that she had on her lip, and she'd say that when she started modeling, she'd have many agents saying, well, do you know what, can you get rid of that mole? It's distracting, you've got a great face, but that doesn't work. And she decided, no, this is me, it's what makes me different. And lo and behold, and I remember this, back in the 90s, girls getting tattoos or drawing on moles so they could look like Cindy Crawford. Because she said it looked beautiful, all of a sudden it did. And more recently, lover or hater, one of the things you have to admit about Kim Kardashian is that she decided again to celebrate her body size and shape and style. Whereas when she broke into the scene about 10 years ago, you know, you would look at rates of sort of things like liposuction around thighs and hips, and they were very high. Now you have people who are actually doing the opposite, who are augmenting the size of their hips, the size of their thighs. Why? It's because she decided to say, this is beautiful. And that's such an important lesson. So the sooner you learn to do that, the sooner you'll begin to be empowered by your appearance rather than trying to constantly change it.
This is my face, covered in freckles with the occasional spot and some veins.
My third question is this. Why do you think that you actually compare yourself to others? Believing that your self-worth lies primarily in your appearance means you'll constantly feel that you're in competition with other people. It's as simple as that. And the sad thing is that the more we compare ourselves to others, the more dissatisfied we become with ourselves. So we know that social comparison theory says that when we compare ourselves to someone who's doing less well than us, we feel better. To someone who's doing better than us, we feel worse. If you think about all the images that are out there, they are all so posed and edited and digitized that it's almost inevitable that you will always be making that upward social comparison. So ultimately, you're always starting from a point of feeling less than. In addition to this, there's a whole industry that has a vested interest in you feeling a little bit less than. If you can feel that your eyes aren't big enough, your lips aren't red enough, your cheeks aren't clear enough, then you'll go out and buy products. So this notion of looking in the mirror, finding something we don't like, and then trying to fix it is nothing new. In fact, it's something that's been around for a long time, and it's so imbued in the way that we look at ourselves that it's almost difficult to just look in the mirror without those value judgments. So, now that you had some time to ponder those all important questions, here's what I think we need to do. Number one, as I was saying, look in the mirror every morning, and instead of picking out stuff that you hate, focus on at least three things that you actually like about yourself. Make sure that you genuinely spend some time and look at the way that the nape of your neck curves, or look at the way that your eyes sparkle, or your hair looks, or look at the smoothness of the skin on your hands, or the way that your thighs look, or whatever it is that you like about yourself. Make a point of picking that out. From a cognitive point of view, what we're trying to do here is get your brain to pick out what's good rather than constantly looking at what's not. If you can retrain your brain to do that, that means when you leave that mirror, you're gonna walk with your head held higher. You're gonna walk away feeling more positive instead of feeling that somehow there's something missing or something wrong. Before you know it, you'll be leaving the mirror smiling rather than feeling deflated and self-conscious. Secondly, I challenge you to challenge the validity of all those media images that we're seeing. We see and engage with images more than ever. And now, because we know that these are professionally altered in some way, we need to stop trying to live up to them. They don't really exist. So look at these images the way that you would a piece of art. It's interesting. You may wonder what's been used, whether it's in terms of editing the photo or lighting or makeup. But ultimately, the idea that you're supposed to live up to a computer-generated image is not only impossible, but it sets you up for feeling like you failed. So make a point of avoiding it. Thirdly, don't buy into the beauty myth. Being perfect is not the route to happiness. Increasing your self-esteem, on the other hand, by valuing yourself for your accomplishments and your talents and your beliefs, that's what is. Very sadly, we kind of live in a world where it's all shortcuts. It's shortcuts to success. It's shorthand for what success and happiness looks like. And it tends to come down to looking a certain way or having certain things. But study after study in this area shows that ultimately what really matters is the way that you see yourself and not buying into someone else's idealized notion of beauty. So take back control of that. Don't hand it over to an advertiser. Fourthly, start investing in your self-esteem in ways other than through your appearance. If you're putting all your self-esteem eggs just in the beauty basket, it's a recipe for disaster because you know what? It's the first thing that goes. Instead, make sure you diversify what you feel good about. Your intellect, your sense of humor, your kindness, your language ability, your athletic ability, your musical ability. I don't know what it is because that's personal to you, but think about it. Think about what makes you special, unique, wonderful, beyond how you look. You're a human being. You're not just an object to be admired. Number five, confidence is attractive. If you're standing around feeling less than that's a vibe you're actually going to be emitting to other people. So if you look nervous and reserved because you feel that you're not looking your best, then people are less likely to make a connection with you. A really interesting study I read years ago took a group of people. And they said to them, we're exploring how disfigurement affects people, how people respond to you. So they said to people, we're going to get a makeup artist in and we're going to paint a scar on your face or a skin condition. And we're going to ask you to go out onto a busy street and hand out leaflets. You're not going to look in any mirrors. You're just going to do this and come back and tell us what it felt like. So off they'd go and they'd hand out these questionnaires and they come back. And when they were asked by the researchers how it went, they'd say things like, oh my gosh, it was terrible. People wouldn't take the questionnaire from me. I felt people wouldn't look at me. They'd shy away. So then they said, okay, we're going to go into the second part of the research study now. We're going to remove the scar or, you know, the what we've put onto your face. And you're going to go out on the same corner and you're going to hand out leaflets again. And I want you to come back. Again, no mirrors, but rest assured, this is not on your face now. So off they go and they come back and it was completely different. They're like, oh my gosh, it was amazing. Look, I gave out all the leaflets. I got some guy's phone number. People were really positive. They're like, brilliant. Now we need to tell you something. You looked exactly the same, both at time one and at time two. You never had a scar on your face. To me, this study epitomizes what body image is because they expected to be rejected. Because they expected that they didn't look good. They acted in such a way so as to bring that upon themselves. So this self-fulfilling prophecy is key. Having the confidence to assume that the other person will like you because you are enough. You are pretty enough. You are attractive and smart and interesting enough. That will make a huge difference because you already start from a position of positivity rather than starting on the back foot. Number six. Beware of editing yourself. If I was going to devise a cognitive exercise in poor self-esteem and body image, I'd do this. I'd get you to take a bunch of pictures of yourself, and then I'd get you to look through them and get rid of the ones that you look really bad in and pick the one that you look least bad in. But then I want you to spend time looking through filters to try and make it look better. Maybe sort of thinking really well about what you need to get rid of and crop out and maybe change. And when you've done that, I'd want you to spend a lot of time thinking of a really cool hashtag to put along with it. And then when you've done that, I'd want you to put it up and wait and see how long it takes you to get 50 likes. And you don't get them really quickly, then you'd have to take it down and start over again. This is literally something that young people from 12 to right through their 40s and 50s do almost every day. We are engaging with ourselves as products. You are not a product. You do not need editing. You do not need PRing. Engage with yourself in a more meaningful way. By all means, celebrate your beauty. But don't let that be the sum total of who you are. You are more than that. And the sooner you begin to value yourself in a wider context, in a bigger way, the sooner that pimple on your forehead or that extra pound or two won't feel like the end of the world. Finally, recognize that reducing the essence of who you are down to something as trivial as appearance is one of the worst things you can do for your self-esteem and body image. Remember who you are. Remind yourself what makes you you. Those passions, those thoughts, those talents, those feelings that are unique to you. Those are the things that are the essence of who you are. So that's it for today, guys. I really hope you enjoyed it. I know I certainly did. It's a topic that's really close to my heart and that I think about and work with a lot. And there's a lot more that I want to speak to you about over the coming weeks. So subscribe to my podcast, The Psychology Behind. You can do this on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcast from. And we'll talk again next week. Till then, goodbye.